Well, greetings this morning in Jesus' name. Another opportunity we have in life to allow God to do work in each one of our hearts through His Word. As I was participating in this Bible school, my prayer has been that God would give us all open and receptive hearts to allow God to do the work that only He knows what we need to be done in each one of our hearts. This morning I'd like to share a message with you about the Christian journey. My title of the message is Road Signs on the Christian Journey. And why do I want to use this? Why this title? As I was studying what I was studying out for the message, I came across this passage of information, road signs on the Christian journey. And as I was looking at these signs, I realized it's practical signs we see on an everyday road out as we travel. But then those signs were taken and they were spiritualized into a spiritual message. And it made me think, and I kept all this information. I thought, maybe by God's grace I can use this for Bible school. As all of you sitting here, you're on a journey. We already heard this morning, by the choices you make will determine the destination of your journey. But as we're on this journey, God sometimes uses those practical signs in life to show us what He really wants. I'll go through a bit of an introduction, and then I'll go through four road signs to bring out what I want to share with you this morning as you're on this journey. Are you walking in victory? I need my glasses, first of all. Otherwise, I'll read my notes pretty blurry. Are you walking in faith in victory this morning? Set your eyes on the promises of God. You only have one journey. Say yes to Jesus, like Abraham did. Leave your past with all its entanglements behind. Do not stop halfway. This journey has a beginning. It has an end. Not everybody who has started this journey has faithfully ended it. Many people have begun and they stopped halfways. Christian life is not a destination. It is but a journey on which we are continually called to walk by faith, grow in trust, and be strengthened through struggle and victory. That is the Christian journey. We're all on a journey. Life is a journey beginning at birth, filled with choices. We are all headed somewhere. At times, we are not certain where life's journey will take us. You may need to ask yourself, am I heading in the right direction this morning? Do I know where I am going? Have I considered the consequences of my decisions? Have I arrived at my destination, or do I continue? What do I do when I get to a fork in the road? Do I settle down or continue and go left or right? They're all valid questions for all of us to ask. As we're on this journey, God has placed road signs along the Christian journey to give us direction, to keep us safe, to warn us, and to keep us on the right path as we reach for a greater understanding and appreciation of Jesus Christ. This is an introduction and a prelude to what I want to share. But this morning, ask yourself this question. As I'm on this Christian journey, Where am I going? Where are you heading? You're all sitting here, and you very possibly have something planned out in your life. You've made some decisions according to what that plan might look like in the end. You're sitting here and you've laid it all out in front of you. And you're planning some things that you're pursuing. You're planning some things that you've decided you're going to go after. What will you do when God challenges you and lays before you the road signs He has set up on your journey? The first sign I'd like to look at is the sign stop. It's a sign we probably all don't like, because that means we come to the place we have to stop and we don't move. One of my best, least favorite signs is a stop sign. And why? It means that I have to stop my progress and sit motionless. As you're on this Christian journey, Christ might say to you, stop and think everything that you've laid before you. Stop, motionless, waiting on God and allowing God to work those details out is not always easy, because we have it all planned out. The one part of the word stop is this: choose your friends wisely. The Bible says evil companions corrupt good morals. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Bad company will crowd you into the wrong lane, force you into doing things you never intended to do. I'll stop here and say this. Where all of you are now, I have been. I didn't always choose the right friends. I did not always choose right companions. And you end up doing exactly what these verses here, what this note said. You end up doing things you regret, involved in things you regret later. The Bible warns us before: choose your friends wisely. Even Christian friends, because not all of them have the same convictions and the same values that you might want to pursue. Some of the things might not all be wrong that they want to get you involved in itself. But where will it take you down the road? God's word tells us to choose friends who help us to do right. Growing up, we never had any of those teachings. We had to fight for everything we have now. But as you're sitting here, you have an opportunity we never had. So I'm asking you, take the word of God serious. Choose your friends wisely. You will avoid a lot of things you didn't have, that we had to face and go through. You can avoid by not going through it if you will make those decisions at a very young age. Consider the consequences of your choices. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he reap also. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. This verse is very clear. On this Christian journey, what you will sow, you will reap. I will say this. We sowed a lot, and we reaped the consequences of it growing up. Some of the consequences were not very good. It took us a long time to get on this journey. We had to filter through a lot of our choices we made in the past. You can avoid all this at a very young age. But what will it take? What it will take is to, when God says stop, reconsider that decision. Reconsider that friendship. Reconsider going down this road and taking it to heart. That's what it will take. Not pushing your own self through and still going because you see something that will benefit you, but it might not benefit God. God says stop. You might sit here and say, is it wrong to try this or that? Be involved in this or that? The truth is, it does matter. Because I've walked before you. I know it matters. And some of the things might not have been exactly wicked or evil in itself, but it's where it took us. And the things you had to work through afterwards. So it does matter. Young people, every decision has a price tag. Think about it. Are you willing to pay the price for the good or for the bad? The choices you make today determine the kind of person you will be tomorrow. It will. It did for us. It will for you. So if you make the right choice today, you make the choice that God wants you to make today, it will determine your tomorrow. And it will only be for a better person if you make it what God wants you to make, that decision. The kind of person you are by the choices you make will determine where you are heading in your Christian journey. Look ahead. Where will you be? Where will you end up if you continue going the direction you are going now? If you continue to go the direction you are going now, where will you be where you want to be when you get there? The direction you're going now, by the choices you make, will you be where you want to be when you reach the destination you have at your following after? Think about it. Look ahead. Is that where you want to go? Is that where you want to end up? Is that what you want to have in this life's journey? Stop. Keep yourself pure. Matthew 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are those who are pure, not only on the surface, but in the center of their being and at the source of every activity. When we think of the word pure, let's remember it has a vastness to us. When we look at purity in a normal sense, we would look at purity and morally. But the word pure goes beyond that. And as I was thinking through my notes this morning, and if you're sitting here today, let's say a young brother or young sister, you have some ill will feeling toward your brother or sister. You have impure thoughts for your brother or for your sister. If you carry a grudge against your brother or against your sister, you have impure feelings towards your brother or sister. So when the word pure comes out, it covers every area of your life. And the Bible says, blessed are those who are pure in heart. Let's remember, from the heart, your whole life flows out. And it will expose every area of your life. But everything starts in the heart. And it gets to our minds. From our minds, it gets produced into actions. And we will, in a short time, see what our heart is full of. So when a brother or sister says something, we take it the wrong way. How do you respond? Do you respond with life-giving words or with impure words, how do you respond? The challenge for all of us, because I still fail. I don't always come across with life-giving words. And there's a lot of repentance that has to get done. It's here to remind us, as we're on this journey, this is what God is calling each one of us to do. Living a pure life means keeping out of your life all the things God didn't intend to go in there. There is whose minds, motives, and principles are pure, who seek not only to have the external actions correct morally. It is their motive is the mind, the motives, and the principles of your life. It's a drive that you have to keep it pure in that sense. We are to be pure in heart, but who desires to be holy in heart, and whoso are, a pure life is pleasing to God. And that is the life that God is calling each one of us on this journey. A life that is pure. And when your life is pure, you will have a life that is holy before a holy God. Is it always easy? No. We're all exposed to more of things than we've ever been in life before. I will just use this one thing. Our phones can be a great tool, but they can be also the greatest detriment to our eternal soul. When you're all alone, young men, young women, what do you find yourself looking at on your phones? What do you find yourself browsing when you're all alone, when you're not accountable to? And as you're going through this process and you're all alone and you start looking at things you shouldn't, what happens to your mind? I'll give you just one picture what it does. It changes your outward countenance. And why do I say this? As a person I knew, struggling person, with exactly what I'm saying here, trying to help that person through some of those things, the outward countenance was very real. There was a shell around it that was imprisoning her. That person, she could not get free. That person had her struggles in what exactly what I said. The biggest struggle was the phone. And that phone led down roads that could have been avoided. But it brought a detriment to that soul. And the consequences were great. Victory wasn't found. The struggle was real. The battle was real. The joy was not there. And that's what it does, because we have a clouded conscience. We have a guilty mind. And it covers and suppresses the pure heart. Sign number two, wrong way. We all drive down roads and we see signs, do not enter, wrong way. When you go off on clover leaves, overpasses, we see, don't turn this way, go this way. And I had to think back of a few years ago. But before I go on, how many have driven down a road on a two-lane highway? You were going one way, and as the ongoing traffic came and you realized the traffic is in your lane heading exactly towards you. How many have had this happen to them? You did? Two? It happened to me twice. I was driving a two-lane highway, and I'm going to use this illustration to what I'm saying the wrong way. This person was, as I was, the traffic was coming close, I realized this person is in my lane. On the highway going 60 miles an hour. I thought, okay, there's traffic behind, there's traffic before, what do I do? Just brace for the impact and look, see what happens with the results. Or do I deviate? Jerked out of sight, looked behind, all nervous and shook up. That person kept going. Who was driving? Was an old lady. Both hands on the steering, barely looking over her steering wheel. Keep going, not a care in the world. I'm going the right direction. I'm heading where I want to go. But she was in her own lane. She was going the wrong way. Let me continue. Even though the road seems safe and the way is open, that's what it reminded me of, it will lead to a disastrous accident. God's word also warns us when we are about to go in the wrong direction to keep us from harm and danger. We are wise when we obey His warning signs and keep off of a sinful path. Has God ever tried to show you you're going the wrong way? I'll read this Bible verse. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That verse had my mind going over and over. What is God trying to say here? There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. Back to the illustration. This lady was driving. She was in full confidence, I'm driving the right way. In her mind, I'm going the right way. How many times in life do we feel the same way? I know the decision I made, I'm going the right way. Seem it right in your way of thinking. But look what the Bible says. But the end thereof are the ways of death. How do we define that? How do you define what is right and what is true? Is it based on what you determine to be right in your own eyes, or is it based upon what the Word of God considers to be right? The question is, what I'm saying based on what I think is right, or is it based on what the Word of God has said is right? Remember, which seemeth right to us doesn't mean it's right what God is saying. Who, what, or where is your view of what is right coming from? Is it I, according to you? What is the attitude of your heart? Is it I? What is the motivation of your heart? Is it I? Why do you do what I do? Is it because of I? Where do you stand on today? How are you operating your life? As wise or as foolish? The way you're going, does it still seem right in your eyes? In Psalms 119, verse 104, I love this verse. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. And that verse was a challenge to me. Do I hate every wrong path? Do I gain understanding from God's precepts this morning? Do I gain His precepts? In my heart, do I hate every wrong way? Or are there wrong ways that I find some kind of fulfillment in my own heart and life, and I enjoy it? Remember where the wrong way will lead you. I have been there. I have walked many wrong ways. And I cannot change my past. I can only change my future. Where I was, I had to work through. But now heading on this journey where God wants me to walk, it's different. So as young people sitting here this morning, is it me? Is it somebody else? When somebody points out to you, I just want you to consider the way you're going. Could be the wrong way you ought to go. Consider, whoever it may be that might speak into your life. Listen, take heed, because that person has very possibly gone before you and maybe walked the same path in the same shoes you are going and is just throwing out a warning to you not to do, because I know where it's going to take you. Just something to give you outside of what I'm sharing. Sign number three is detour. Does anybody like detours when they come across them? Detours on the practical, if you're a routine man like I am, I'm a very routine person. I'll take the same roads, same streets to get me to point A to point B, like a broken record, over and over. Well, the first goal here is to provide understanding that God frequently takes you on a detour from the path toward our own destiny for the purpose of maturing and equipping you. Remember, you are on a journey. And all of a sudden, God wants you to make a detour. He's put a roadblock in front of your path that you normally go every day. The decisions you've made, the pursuits you're after, God is putting a roadblock in. He's deviating you from what you're going after. The second goal here is to encourage those who struggle with difficult circumstances by helping them identify the Lord's hand in the midst of the storm. Something I read as I was meditating upon these notes. It's a short story. This man had his routine journey every day to go to work. He had the same route, the same place, so he was never late for work. It always worked out. But the same person was also facing a difficult time in his life. And one day he got up and went on his way to work. And there was this orange sign, detour. There's a few questions that popped up in his mind. Will I be late for work? Will I be on time? All relevant questions. All of a sudden he has to take a route he has never taken before. It's going to take him down a journey he had never gone before. And he was concerned. But as he was going down the road on the detour, he opened his eyes to the surroundings. All of a sudden, he realized he saw something he had never seen before. He kept driving, and his spirit was lifted. As he went over the hill, it was fall. All of a sudden, the beauty of God's nature popped wide open in front of his eyes, and he saw a beauty of God he had never seen before in the creation of God. My point is this. God used this detour in this person's life, who already was going through a difficult time, to show him, I am with you. He exposed himself to nature. His heart was revived, it said. It changed his whole demeanor of life in that day from what he was going through. He made it to work on time. He wasn't late. The detour God used to encourage him as he's going through the hard time of his life. And sometimes God has to do this with each one of us. Instead of just keeping going straight, God has to put detours in our life to show us something He wants us to see. You're not alone. I am with you. But I want to show you something on this detour. God often puts a detour sign on our path. It may be because we are on the wrong road. It might be that God has something different in mind for us than what we had decided to do. And yes, sometimes God will take a detour and change our plans. Will you accept God changing your plans on this journey? You can receive it, or we can reject it. We all know when that happens where we will end up. Yeah, we will create a wilderness in our lives that we can totally avoid. And God is only trying to help us. I have a better plan for you. I have a plan for you, each one. God's detour might be a change of career, a change of things you're pursuing, a delay in the timing of when you expected something to take place, the cancellation of something you have been desiring for years. God will take us on a detour because He is constructing something in our lives as well. Granted, detours are anything but convenience. They take you out of the way. They take longer than you originally had planned to travel, but they are necessary. God is more interested in your development than your arrival. He cares more about your character than your comfort, your purity than your productivity. He wants the best for each one of you. Each one of you sitting in this room today, God has a perfect plan laid out for each one of you. Do you believe that in your heart? There's a verse in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. That's an incredibly encouraging verse to me. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I have it all laid out. I have a very good plan for each one of you. Yes, and sometimes the detours have to happen for God to fulfill and work out that perfect plan that He has for each one of you. To give us a picture from the Old Testament of this journey, of the detours on this journey, we can look at the life of Joseph, which is a good picture for us to look at, what Joseph went through. God's plan for Joseph was to get him out of Egypt, get him to Egypt, so that he could fulfill his destiny. What did God have to do to bring him to Egypt? Let's remember, Joseph was the favorite son of Jacob. They were very dear to each other. But God used something. He had to strip him of his tunic, which is his robe where he was at, and put on it, take him to Egypt and turn him into an Egyptian. Separate him from his family, sell him into slavery, and put him into prison so that God could fulfill his destiny. Would you call this a disruption and a detour of your life? Do you think Joseph wanted this? Do you think Joseph would have, if he would have been asked, he said, I would want to go through this? But God did it. He was 17 years old. He had to go through something that not many of us will go through, if any. Such a detour in your life, all to fulfill God's perfect plan for Joseph's life. What his brothers did out of evil, God took for the good. But look at what Joseph had to go through. The journey, the detour in his life, the separation at a young age, to prepare him for the future plan that God had in store for him, to use him in the time he did. What will you and I do if God has a detour like this in our lives? Are you and I going to allow God to take us down this detour to prepare us for the plan in the future He has for each one of us? Will it be easy? No. Every detour will be worth it in the end. And we will glorify our God to the ultimate sense when we worship Him for eternity. For now, we can choose to extol His name in the midst of the detours of life, because we know that His glory will be revealed. And we can also bear witness to a world without hope by trusting His ways and praising His wisdom. Let's remember, God does not make mistakes. He has only one intention, and that's the very best for each one of you. Take courage. God knows what He is doing. And His plans are always best for you in the final outcome. Although each of our journey looks different, God takes us on a journey, on detours, to prepare us for the things He has in store for us in the future. Proverbs 16, verse 9. The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. We're sitting here. Yes, we plan our way. But are you and I going to allow God to direct the steps in the plans we make? Are we going to allow God to do that? Let's remember, we're on a journey. It is the best journey that everyone could find themselves on. All those other journeys, yes, you go on journeys in life. You come back from your journey. It doesn't take long, you forget what you saw on that journey. But this journey, the reward will come in the end. Every detour, every stop sign, every wrong way sign that God brings into the path and put roadblocks in to direct you will be worth it in the end. Sign number 4. Speed limit. Slow down and refocus on me. How many sitting here have tried to run ahead of God? You wanted answers. You wanted something happening. How many have run ahead of God? I've run ahead of God many times in life. When God slows you down and brings you back, it's not always easy. Sometimes it stings a bit, because you got to eat some humble pie along the way. But I'll say this to all of you. From everything I've said, a lot of things I can say I can relate with. I wouldn't exchange for what life is now. God knows best. You might not understand some of the things that God is touching on you today. But remember, the time will come if you allow God to take you, shape you, mold you, make you, direct you into His perfect plan. You will understand one day. You will not regret. Every road has a posted speed limit sign. We go down roads. There's this sign over here that says, don't exceed this. This sign over here says that. In a similar way, God often places speed limits on His people. Often for no apparent reason. God will command us to slow down. But God has a purpose in mind for the delay. Let's remember, God's delays in your life are not God's denials. He is not denying you something. He wants to delay something for a reason and for a purpose. And the purpose is to refocus on Him instead of what you are focusing on. that we might not be able to see. Be patient. Trust the plan of God when He asks you to slow down and wait. But let's remember this. God's timetable has no time. 1,000 years, one day, to Him there's no difference, because He is time. That's why it is so hard for us to wait on God, because He is time. He holds time. If you are pressing God to reveal something that He will only reveal to you over time, this is a sign He is saying, slow down and refocus on Me. Is that where you find yourself today? Are you trying to ask God to, are you pressing God to reveal something to you over and over? Are you pressing God to reveal the things you are pursuing? It's a good sign that God is telling you, slow down. Focus on Me instead of this. So in an ironic way, by slowing down, refocusing on God, and walking forward with Him, rather than pressing so hard to know the future. And yes, many of us have probably done this over and over. You're actually speeding up the process of knowing God's future plan for you if this is what you are trying to do. The question we have to ask ourselves is this. If we keep pressing and God says slow down, the thing could be very possibly that you are not ready for what you are pursuing. You could not be ready for the things you're after. Let God prepare you. Let God mature you. Build your character and shape you into what He wants you to be for what you are pursuing. If you're getting tempted to make decisions on your own, you don't feel confident about, this is a sign the Lord is saying, slow down and refocus on Me. When we refuse to slow down and refocus on the Lord, the decision we make in haste end up only making our problems worse. Can we wait and trust God as He tells us to slow down? The problem is this. Many times, do we really trust God's Word? Do we really trust God's Word, what He is saying? Can I put my confidence in His Word? And until you do this, you'll never have that rest what God is trying to show you. If you are trying to force something to happen, this is a sign God is saying, slow down and refocus on Me. But if you put an absolute timeline on yourself that does not coincide with God's timing for your life, all you will be doing is causing unnecessary stress, pressure, and confusion in your life. God doesn't work on timetables, because He has time. Don't put a timetable ahead of God and say, I need an answer from here. No, don't do this. God does not make mistakes. Instead, slow down your pursuit and say, God, I'm in Your hands. I will let You direct me in this direction. Show me the way. Psalms 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. That is what God wants each one of us to do in this. Yes, for some, it might be hard to give up some of those things. I don't see into each one of your hearts, but let's remember God does. He knows what to touch, and He knows what to press. And you might say, but how do I know? But why? But why, God? Don't ask those questions to God. He knows. He knows your heart. He knows the very thought of you, each one of you. Let Him work it out for you. The last point I'd like to use as an illustration, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. I'll read this verse in two different translations. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That is the King James Version. The Good News translation says it this way. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. As a man thinketh, so is he. So consider this. I want to use this verse for all those who drive and for all those who have a vehicle. I want to use the illustration of a dashboard in your vehicle to what I'm saying here. And put this into the condition of your heart. Your heart will expose what's inside of you. Just like the dashboard on your vehicle. When you drive down the road, it has flickering lights. It signals a warning for this. It signals a warning for that. It shows you there's something wrong over here. It shows there's something wrong over here. Some signals are worse than others. For instance, I used to have a car. Back then, the check engine light was on for years. People said, you need to check it out. I said, I'll be worried when it goes off. I've been driving for so long. I took it as a humorous joke. But if you compare it to the dashboard of your heart, the light is a warning. There's something wrong in your heart. Are you and I going to heed to the warning light that it gives you? I want to read some practical things on it. First, most of you are familiar with the concepts of a dashboard. Think about your car. As you drive along the road, there are certain information you need to have close at hand. What speed are you going? How much fuel do you have left in the tank? You don't want to run empty. You want to run out as you're driving, so you pay attention to those things. Then there is other information like the temperature of your engine and the level of your oil. You don't watch them constantly, but if the temperature of your engine rises, you need to know. All of this information is displayed on a dashboard in front of you. We all know if your engine overheats, if you don't deal with it, you'll ruin your engine. If you run your engine out of oil and you're running low, if you don't add to it, you'll ruin your engine. Your heart is the engine to your life. What would a dashboard of your heart look like this morning? If each one of our hearts would be put to flickering, what signals would flicker in our heart? If that dashboard of your heart would be exposed this morning, how many of us would be ashamed of what's in our heart? How many of us would say, don't show my heart. There's things in there I don't want people to see. How many of us would say, I have nothing to hide. I know I am free. So what could some of those red lights be that could flicker in your heart? When you drive down the road, you have a friend with, what's your conversation about? You drive down the road by yourself, what are your ears tuned to? When you're all alone, what are you doing when you're all alone? Back to, I can say, what are you looking at? What are you watching? Now all of a sudden, your heart is starting to send off signals. This is wrong. You shouldn't go over here. You shouldn't look at this. You shouldn't listen to this. You shouldn't listen to that. When those signals start popping up in your heart every now and then, what do you do with them? If those red lights go on in your car, would you keep driving your car if there's a severe temperature change in your car? Would you keep driving it, or would you take it to your mechanic shop to get it checked out? How would you treat your car? Will you treat your heart the same way as God is showing you those signals that keep popping off? What will you do with the dashboard of your heart? When you have a bad attitude towards your siblings, your parents, you're talking the way you shouldn't, you know you shouldn't, your heart sends you that signal. What do you do with it? Do you ignore it, or do you keep going? You wouldn't ignore your cars. You would check it out, because you know if you ruin the engine, it'll cost you a lot more than it is to fix it. Well, your heart will cost you a lot more than a car will. If we don't fix our heart, we don't go back to a pure heart, it will cost us eternity. We can't hide those things. We can't block them off. When God shows those things and the heart flickers, what are you going to do with it? Let me give you some examples of red lights that you might put on your dashboard. Just some practical things that you can put the reminder on when they go on. Fear, pride, greed, self-pity, resentment, cowardice, anger, hard thoughts about God, and coldness in worship, any sense of formality in worship, or any sense of going through the motions. Just some practical things that your heart could flicker and send off signals. You can add to that list. There might be some other things that you might check your own heart with and check what is God showing you. There are just a few impulses in the of the heart that you might want to keep on your dashboard. You can use these, but remember, God says to you, keep your heart, not your neighbor's heart. You are not responsible for the other man's heart. You're responsible for your own heart. Keep that pure with all diligence. For the Christian to keep his heart means to pay, for him to pay close attention to the direction in which his affections are moving, to discover whether the things of the world are gaining a firmer and fuller hold over him or her, or whether they are increasingly losing their charm for him. So where is your heart this morning? Is it getting closer to God, or is it being squeezed out by the things the world is bombarding us with on a daily basis? Watch the direction in which things are moving in your heart. Watch your heart. There's a fervency in that verse. Keep your heart with all diligence, like you keep a treasure. The Bible says, like you keep a rich treasure. You would safeguard it. Safeguard your heart. It is a treasure that you have. The momentum of sin, which always begins in the heart, is like a stone rolling down a hill. It is easy to stop at the beginning, but once it gains momentum, it's very difficult to stop. So keep your heart with all diligence. Watch for the first flicker of a red light on the dashboard of your heart. It doesn't take much. Once again, I've walked before you, young people. I've been there. I know. It doesn't take much. Take the warnings that God puts on the dashboard of your heart. God is at work in our lives, and the process can be messy and slow. Yes, it is. And it can be if you're waiting for something to happen. It is very slow and very messy because you keep asking yourselves the same questions. We're under construction for most of our lives, and it seems that it will take forever. Will I ever be the person that God has in mind? Yes, you will. Philippians 1, verse 6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in each one of you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. You will be complete. God doesn't start a work in each one of your lives and leave you halfway. No, he doesn't. When God starts something, he finishes it. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. That is God's plan. He will act. He will not leave you hanging. A few things here just to summarize. I believe my time is up. I'll do this here quickly just to close. To summarize what I said. Will you give careful thought to your ways? What are your priorities? What is your decision? Are you focused on God and His desires, or are you focused on your own? Just questions to leave with you. Will you try harder to work to succeed in order to get ahead of this life, or will you reevaluate your ways and seek the Lord? Will you keep doing what you are doing, or will you consider life's priorities? They're all questions. You can only answer them for yourself. Will you consider your ways? Will you give careful thought of your ways? If you were told today to give careful thoughts of your ways, what would you do? What would you do if you were asked today? How would you answer that question? We need to practice a little spiritual maintenance every day in order to keep going. When you say yes to God and His desires, you will hear the words, I am with you. And there, this is a very good passage to read. I've read it in the past a few times in the book of Haggai. If you read that book, it gives you almost to a nutshell everything that I said. And I had to think of it over and over as I was studying this. In that passage, in that whole book, it's not a very long book, but if you have time, read it and go through it very carefully. A lot of what I said, God had to remind the people to do exactly what I said today. If you find that life is difficult, use it as a sign to consider your ways and seek the Lord. Use it to give God glory as you remain steadfast in faith. Remain spiritually faithful and know you are never alone. Draw closer to the Lord. Allow the Word of God to speak to your heart and ask the Holy Spirit to direct your path. May the Lord bless you, young people. We're on a journey. Let's heed to every warning sign that God allows to come and cross our path. Let's not shove them away, push them off. You can increase your journey that way, or you can prolong that journey. Let God direct your very path. When He says stop, stop. Consider what He's trying to tell you. When He says you're going down the wrong way, acknowledge it. When He takes you down a detour, let Him take you down that journey. When He says slow down and refocus on Me, allow God to do this work in each one of your hearts. Lord bless you.